John chapter 2 and verse number 2, or verse number 1 rather, let's start there. And let's just read a little bit down through here and see what the Lord will do for us. I feel like this is what the Lord wants for tonight's service. So you just help me here. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And his mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. If the Lord help me here tonight, I want to take my text from verse 10. Notice what the governor of the feast said. Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, that means they've really gone really into it, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Until now. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Until now. Y'all going to help me here, aren't you? Those two words give us two sides of the story. It's like a hinge on a door. It gives you what was just taking place, and then it tells you there was a great change, and it all happened. And I feel like that we can look at this and should be able to relate just a little bit. We may feel like that we are on the other side of this until now. But this service tonight could be the very one that changes everything about you. You see, the key to this miracle happened whenever some folks got together and they planned a marriage feast. A marriage feast wasn't like our modern day weddings that lasted. You come in and you have a 30 or a 40 minute ceremony or an hour, depending on how long you want to stand there. And then afterwards you come and you throw together a little something for a reception, but it's more centered around bringing the gifts, and you don't care who drinks the punch, and you're really not worried about who's doing this or who's doing that. You're more worried about getting your stuff and running. But in the marriage feast, it was something that lasted 7 days. A typical marriage feast went on 7 days. So in the planning process of this, you had to figure out how many people were going to be there, and you had to make some type of a guess as to how much stuff was going to be consumed in 7 days. The only advantage that you would have is that if you attended some other marriage feast and you carbon copied their invitations, and then you could make an assumption then that something that they were only going to use a certain amount. Because one of the worst embarrassments that could ever happen in a marriage or to happen in anything is to get in the middle of something and run out. I mean, this would be to any person here, this would be not only embarrassing to the bride and to the groom, but to their respective families, that they did not make enough plans to get themselves all the way through. And while our text speaks of a marriage feast, there are a lot of times in our lives
that we have come into the same situation, not quite sure exactly what it'll take, and feeling certain that we've made enough plans to get us through everything that we'll ever face in life, but only one day to suddenly realize there's just not enough. We didn't make enough plans, and it's there that our efforts suddenly come to an end of everything that we have brought in, everything that we have done our best to supply suddenly has an end to it. But there is something that happens in this that is of the greatest importance to every one of us here. The Bible said in verse 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples. Some people believe that this was almost an afterthought, that they were the last ones that were added, and they were brought on to this feast simply because they liked being around Jesus. He was not one. He was not a hateful person. He was not a haughty person. I don't know where in the world that this world, amen, I should say the church, the holiness church, has got the idea that in order to be holy, you've got to be hateful. It has never been that way, and it doesn't have to be that way today. It's God's will that you should be desired, come on now, to be in attendance. I know that there are things and places that we will not go, and as it is here, you notice that Jesus and his disciples, it is the fact that if Jesus was not there, his disciples should not have been there. But the presence of the Lord was enough in itself to bring them there. And suddenly here they are somewhere in the middle of this marriage feast. They have come and they brought wineskin after wineskin. They've emptied them and left them piled in the corner somewhere, or laying out somewhere to that side. And you know that surely when they brought all this in, Brother Jeff Smith, they said, we're going to have enough. It's going all right. Day number one passes. There's still plenty in the cellar. Day number two comes. There's still plenty in the cellar. But something happened there. Maybe day three or four or five or six or six or seven. It really doesn't make any difference what day you choose. But the fact is, there came to a place when the servants carried the last wineskin up and emptied the last of it into those containers that they had there, those flasks that they were drinking from, and they declared to somebody, we're out. But the thing is there was still a desire for more. But the problem is, they didn't have it there. There was not enough in their efforts. There was nowhere to go. You could not amend your plans. You couldn't place another order. There was not enough time. We don't have enough days. It'll take us a day or two. And our people that are gathered here, our guests are going to go in want unless this need is supplied. And you know there had to be. They kept this as secret as they could, fearing that there would be a disaster at the marriage feast. I hope you'll help me here. But the Bible said, and when they wanted wine, come on now, that simply means that they ran out. But it did not quench their desire. It did not quench their thirst. It did not change their appetite. Their desire was to make it all the way to the end. And I want to tell you, it's not a consolation that you had enough to get halfway. But the consolation is that you find a way to get enough to finish up what you started. And if we could somehow in this service find a way to get a hold of that one that is present with us and could call upon his name, then certainly we'd get enough to get us through these things that we're facing. You see, that comes a place when we've spent everything we've got, we've used every bit of our resources, we've thrown in all our effort, and it still is not sufficient for the task at hand. And that's when a combination has to come to that. But that is the place where we can fall back and call on Jesus and find a
that there is a miracle in the making right before us. I tell you, He's got a way to save us the embarrassment. He's got a way to get us past our insufficiency and allow us to make it the rest of the way in our lives.
You know, it's not good enough. I mean, people could have dismissed, and that could have been an okay, or maybe we could have had a happy settlement. Vote for disbanding and forget about this. But the rumor's going to carry for a long time. It doesn't matter how many marriage feasts that the governor has attended. He's already got his preconceived idea as to how this one's going to end. He tells us at the end of it. He said, always they bring the best. And for all them that thought that you couldn't tell a difference, He said all along, He said they've always brought their best first, and then that which is worse. You see, He noticed it, but He was one that He kept His mouth shut. But now, you see, this marriage that was headed for disaster, when the watering down usually began, and they started trying to make it go a little farther, and make it last a little longer, when they brought in something that was not nearly so pure, something that was not nearly as good, and thought they'll never tell the difference. They've been drinking to the point that their taste buds no longer can determine the difference between the good and the bad. But can I tell you that the Bible said right here that the governor said that which is worse always comes last. But I'm telling you, our worst days does not have to be our last days. Our worst days don't have to come at the end. We don't have to tail off and cool down and settle in and make just barely creep by. We don't need somebody to fetch the water. Come on now, to dilute the mixture and make it enough to just get us by. What we need is we want in the presence of the Lord for this to be the best it's ever been. Can I tell you tonight that God's will is this should be the service when it all changes. This could be the very meeting when everything turns around. When suddenly we go from empty with an excess. We go from running out to running over. Listen, all we need is a move of God and the hand of God and the word of God to speak to us in this service. I feel like preaching here. Hallelujah. I may not look like it, but I'm feeling like it. And I am so thankful that in the middle of everything that's going on, that when somebody discerns there's fixing to be a tragedy, that they've got enough mind about them not to hit the panic button. Not to run over and sound the alarm. But rather they ease over in secret. Come on now. I know you're looking at this and saying, well, but that was Jesus. And you're certainly, I know I'm not Jesus, but He's here. But you see, He was not invited as a Savior. He was not there as a miracle worker. Because up to this point in time, He'd never done one. So He was not invited on those merits. Now it may be that you and I would bring Him along just in case, because we know what He's able to do. But on the other side of this miracle, He was no more to them. He was an extra special man with a wonderful spirit that amazed people. Are you going to help me here? With His wisdom and His knowledge. But other than that, you never knew anything about it. At this point in time, there was a lot of folks were discounting the virgin birth, and only Mary knew about that, and they may have discounted it and said there's nothing to it, but they were forgiven.
giving of this guest from Galilee as he was there at their marriage. But I can see a woman that somehow knew down in her heart. She identified the problem and said, "We don't have enough." You say, "But Mary, that was her son. That was Jesus. She'd never seen water made into wine. She'd never seen a miracle. But she had faith enough that just a little simple prayer would be enough to get the job done. She did not detail her ideas as to how it ought to be done. She just simply said, "They have no wine." You hear me? They have none. But what I want is, we want some more. I don't know where you're going to get it, if it's going to rain down out of the clouds or how it's going to get here. I'll leave the details of the miracle up to you. But all I can tell you is about my desire, and our desire, and to avoid running out halfway through. What we need is a miracle from the Lord.
I'm trying to preach to you here. One could almost, in viewing this text, could almost be amused at the answer that the Lord gives. When he looks at she's, nobody knows. They think it's just parent to child. It's just family conversation. But isn't that what it really is? Family conversation. You know, we've come to know it as prayer. You didn't know that, did you? You don't care. Some of these girls don't care to ease up to daddy, put their arm around and say, "Daddy, I'd sure like to have." And presto, right there it is. The wallet comes falling out, and most of the contents. Hallelujah. Are y'all going to help me right here? Come on now. I am not talking about anybody in particular. Come on now. Not intentionally, I'm not. But you hear me. But here is the problem. Here's what's going on in this. She just walks over and just simply, she makes a four-word prayer. Come on now. There is nothing spectacular about this prayer, except in the fact it states the need. It states a desire. Come on, it states a faith. There is everything therein. Those four words. There is an expected outcome. She simply said, "They have no wine." It was not the matter that her flask was empty, but it was the matter that they didn't have it, and they needed it. And she, I feel like she was saying, "If I have to do without, I will. But if anybody gets filled, then Lord, fill them up. They're the one that needs this." Mother, I got to tell you something. And Jesus looks at her and says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" You've heard this. You've heard it preached about without a doubt. Probably never like I preach it. But you've heard it preached about. Woman. In other words, that word "woman" there was not disrespectful. That word actually means mother. Highly regarded. He showed respect and said, "What have I to do?" In other words, what do you want me to do about it? I'm just a guest. But she saw him as a guarantee. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all ready to shout yet? Come on, some of you still looking at him as a guest. For everybody else, he was a guest. But for Mary, the mother of Jesus, this was the only guarantee that she had. Come on, they'd double-check the cellar. They'd run to the neighbor's house. Maybe the servants come back in panting for air. They had run, looked here and there, and the grapes weren't yet ready in the vineyard. Or maybe they could have squeezed a little extra juice out there. But here they are, in desperate need. There's only one thing that's guaranteed in this entire marriage feast, and that is the presence of the Lord. Oh, I would to God tonight
that we could get that self-same attitude, that everything else, there is no warranty on it. There's no written word that tells you it's going to last. But with Jesus, it's the only thing that's present in this service that has an eternal guarantee. Come on now. And if you take part with Him, whatever you need, whatever you want, He will supply that according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. She could have really been discouraged with this. And some of you are halfway in. The last that you had stored up. I understand we preached it and makes for good preaching. I'm not sure really how truthful it is about storing up blessings, but we've convinced ourselves you can do it. And some have convinced themselves they can shout on credit every once in a while. But there's only one thing to do when you run out, and that's to get filled back up. She knew it was an easy resolution. All we need, come on now. Somebody said we need to send to town. We need to go to the king's quarters. We need to run over here. No, all we really need is to be filled again. All we need is a refilling. I mean, you can complicate it by adding the details and involving a lot of other people. But the less circles you run around and the less people you try to go through, the better you off you are. The best thing you can do is instead of calling 1-800-PROPHET and letting them call their prophet and then call their prophet, and by the time it gets back to you, it takes 6 months or you, we ain't got that much time. The best thing you can do is go straight to the source that you know can supply. You hear me now? I got to try to hurry here. He said, mine hour is not yet come. This could be mistaken and misunderstood to be stated that I'm not going to do it. But that's not his wording at all. What he's saying, I just haven't done it yet. You hear me now? There is, and until now, that is yet to be taken place in this revival. I got to try to preach to you here. I know you're not up running the pews yet. But when we get done, when we get all this water out of the way and it suddenly becomes wine, then everything's going to change. There's no telling who's going to come under the influence and declare, instead of it winding down, it's still winding up. Instead of it, come on now, getting worse, it's getting better. But it's all going to be determined on how empty you are and how bad do you want more wine. You see, we've all run out. I mean, there's been a lot of times I really thought I had enough. And then I didn't. Something happened, and I just found myself sitting on empty. Several years ago, my dad had a little truck, and he told me, he said, "Now, son, I want you to hear me now." He said, when the fuel hand drops down to a quarter of a tank, you better find a gas station or you're going to run out. Well, you know, I mean, I'm used to those that you can run past the orange. I mean, I've drove that diesel until it said 0 miles to empty for about 5 miles. Yeah. By the help of the Lord. Come on now. I mean, I've run it down. And that thing's only, I don't know what it says capacity is. But I can tell you that night when I finally did fill it up, I didn't even top the tank off. And I put 37.9 gallons in it. Huh? And a 36-gallon tank, that's pretty good, I thought. Huh? Oh, yeah. Hey, man, but I was driving that little old S10, and this is by no means a slur or a slam at Chevrolet, but it just had a line gas in. That's all you can say about it. It told me I had more than I had. It never did drop down to E. When I came through Irving, Kentucky, me and my precious little wife, she came, I think we was married then, I don't remember. I think we was. I don't remember the year, I don't remember what year I got married, but I don't remember the year I ran out of gas. Come on now, hear me just a minute. I'm alright. I ain't done nothing wrong yet here on this. I made poor it's over with. I came through and I drove past several places. That gasoline, unleaded. I don't remember the fuel price, but it wasn't near what it is now. I can tell you that much. And I drove past, I looked at them, looked at the signs, but for some reason, I never took notice of my gauge. I never paid attention. I drove right on out of Irving, headed up, turned past another little quick mart, and got out there on Highway 82, somewhere between Clay City and Irving, Kentucky. And while I was traveling across Highway 82, I came around the curve, and I hit the straight stretch. And when I was going into my normal rev up mode, it decided to rev down. Come on now. And suddenly I felt a flutter and another flutter and a miss. And it was suddenly then I looked down at my gas hand and it was sitting somewhere about 1/8 of a tank. But the only thing is there wasn't an eighth left in there. It was out. O-U-T, absolutely nothing left. It sputtered. I just threw it in neutral, let her coast for the next mile and a half. I made it to a wide spot and pulled over about 4 miles from Clay City. You hear me now? We don't have to get to the place until the last drop has been consumed, until everything is gone, and find ourselves stranded 4 miles from the city that we're headed to. Tonight is the night when we can make everything right. It's just a revival, or maybe it's a marriage feast. Halfway into this thing, some folks are running out. You still want more, but you ain't got no more to give. You've used everything you have. But I want to tell you, there is one here that is able to give you more than you'll ever use. It is wine. New wine. It's the best wine you've ever had. Are you helping me tonight? I tell you what we need is to be filled up with the Spirit of God. You're running on empty. And you're just about gone. You're spitting and sputtering and missing a little here and there. But I tell you, when you use yours up, he's over to Jesus and say, we need some more wine. And I'm telling you, as soon as he said this, his mother saith unto the servants, y'all, can y'all get this picture now? She just went and had a little talk with Jesus. Yeah. And it was a little talk.
Yeah.
4 words. I never knew 4 words could ever constitute a prayer for anything. But if I knew that I could get results like this, I may cut out a lot of the stuff I got in mind. Because it don't seem to be yielding these kind of results. Come on now. Hey, are y'all going to help me here now? Come on, ain't the truth? I've applied words, and I've used a few words that I heard somewhere along the way, and I thought they meant one thing, and I was pretty sure they meant that. I'm not really sure anymore what they really mean, and I've used big words because it sounded good. I don't know if I was trying to impress God. Come on now, I was just trying to say something big and carried on with an error. I hate to be called on to pray over something. I'm just one of these simple old country people. Hey, Lord, bless this food. Amen. I'm not one of them. Lord, would you... started here, but I like what she prayed. It was 4 words and it got the job done. I wonder tonight if maybe we've complicated things so much that we've lost, come on now, the true interest of heart by trying to make it some big, come on now, task called praying through. But it's simple. Get close to Jesus, speak the words, and it's going to be done. Come on now. But if it takes you all day to get the nerve up to tell what you really got. Somewhere or another, you're going to get thirsty and you're going to have nothing to satisfy that thirst in your life.
I'm trying my best to preach here. I'm already getting winded and hallelujah. And y'all are getting weary. Something like that. But his mother turned to the servants. I mean, for them four words, she just turned on and said, I like this. She turned to the Lord and said, hey, they have no wine. Mine hour has not yet come. She turned around and said, but oh, it may be right now. She turned to the servant and said, hey, whatever he saith unto you, do it. I mean, is that faith or what? Huh? When was the last time you just prayed a little prayer and turned over to somebody and said, now, he's fixed to tell you something. And when he says it, you get up and do it. Huh? I mean, we're too busy trying to argue over who's the rank here. Who's in authority? Wait a minute here. Who told you to tell me that? Whose boss do you think you are? I'm Timothy several times, and he does it every revival. He tries to claim the end of the pew. And I like to sit on the end of the pew. You know, I happen to be. I'll tell Saul to come back, and I'll say, let's move over. And instead of moving in, he moves out. And he gets closer to the end. He looks up at me and grins and says, I was sitting in. I said, I'm sitting there. It's my seat. And he said, why? And I told him, because I was the dad. Now it's the head of the house, and I can sit wherever I wanted to. And that may not be much of an explanation to you or him, either one. But it's the best I could come up with at the time. And that's still all I got. And here she says, whatever he says do, do it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You're not getting this right here. Whatsoever, I mean, that covers absolutely everything that comes down. I mean, we've got a limit. We've got, I mean, we go. I mean, you tell me to run. I mean, running, I'll run. Anybody can run. I'll join in the march at the beginning of the service, and I'll walk around there and yawn with the rest of them, and ain't no big deal. You ain't helping me here, are you? Whatsoever. I mean, you said we need more wine. Well, if you want more wine, there's a whatsoever for the wine. A whatsoever is it? I don't know. It may be crawling. It may be walking. It may be running. It may be fetching a pail of water. Come on now. We're not going to come tumbling down like Jack and Jill. We're going to bring this in here, and we're going to get a glorious transformation in our life. The other night, I mean, I really liked it. I'm not trying to be embarrassing here, but I watched this hair. I got down here, and she went crawling across the floor. I thought, my God, that's whatsoever he saith. He looked at them, looked at the water pots, and said, fill them up with water. Whatsoever he saith. Well, I'll raise my hands from right here. Whatsoever he saith. What did he tell you to do in this revival? Whatsoever he said. Listen, he's not out of wine. You are. He's not running short on supplies. You are. And the best thing that we can do is to learn to be obedient, or we'll never get the wine. There are some folks here, you're running on empty. You ain't got hardly anything left. And what you need is a refilling, not with the same old stuff, but stuffing that's been blasted and touched by the hand of God to make a difference in your life. Whatsoever he saith, do it. Do it. Holy Ghost right here. Valerie, everything's going to be all right. I felt the Holy Ghost just tell me right here that all is well. For whatsoever he saith, don't argue. I love servants that are under subjection. They never argued with her, and they certainly didn't argue with him. He said, fill the water pots. He didn't need a substance from a foreign land. Come on, the man the other day, a few weeks ago maybe, who was it to find the other day for preachers? I don't know. But he gave me, and I appreciate this man, he's a good friend of mine. He gave me one of them special anointing oils, bottles of oil. I mean, it smells like perfume. Come on now. It's myrrhs and aloes and all other kinds of stuff is in there. Come straight from Jerusalem. Bought fresh at the Church of God bookstore. Come on now. Hallelujah. And he gave me that. He said, this way you can really anoint them. Come on now. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't go looking for some foreign substance to get it done. He said, give me some water. Bring me what you have. There's plenty of that around here. Give me some water. Put it in these pots. And right here on the spot, something was fixing to change. I do not know what happened between the fetching and the filling or the withdrawing, but somewhere that came, and until now there was that. And as the last drop was poured out of the flask, a refill was on its way to the governor. And when he wrapped his lips around the top of that cup, I mean, son, are you helping me here? It opened his eyes wide open. He said, where did you get this? This is the best I've ever had. Six water pots containing two to three firkins. A firkin, one firkin, is 9 gallons. Two or three firkins is 18 to 27 gallons of wine. Huh? Ain't that great? Huh? And that capacity, six water pots contain 108 to 162 gallons. They didn't ask for 162 gallons. They asked for enough to quench their thirst. 10 gallons. Now, I would have done it, but they got more than they asked for when they turned it over to the Lord. There was enough that had they done it from the beginning, there was enough, you hearing me tonight, that they had enough to last for 7 days of a marriage feast. But halfway into it, they've got plenty to finish it up and plenty to carry them on and plenty till nobody will know. In fact, this went from being the worst disaster of a marriage feast that would have ever been penned in the history of the world to a bunch of folks that was running out halfway in until they was the only folks that saved the best to last. It went down in history as one of the greatest ceremonies that's ever gone down. You hear me? And it's all because Jesus was there. And finally, I like what that governor says. He said, always, it's always been this way. Everyone I've ever attended, this was the custom. He was there to see over it and watch what was going on. He said, and every man, that is every man, come on now, at the beginning, that set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou, come on, has kept the best, the good wine, until now. I tell you, wouldn't it be a good night on Thursday night to break an old break open? Come on, the water pots of wine. Come on, they never stored them that way. But this ain't stored up stuff. This is fresh, straight from the wine press of glory. And as it's been squeezed from the vineyards of the Father and poured down, I
out of that fountain. But it was wine. It was an unending supply that God gave them until now. Anybody out?
I just ain't feeling nothing.
Last drop.
Turn to the servant. Give me a refill. Cup. The governor ain't looking. He walks over to that old water pot that all it was ever used for was the water in it. Didn't have to be pure. All it had to have was water in it to wash the dust off the feet of those that came in. That was just something you done. You washed the road ground. I mean, they didn't have paved highways and Oldsmobiles to drive. They either went by camel or by foot. Huh? And on a dusty road, usually your feet got dirty. Come on now. And so they used this old water, poured it on the feet. It didn't matter if it wasted. It wasn't worth anything anyway. When I see, come on now, that little servant, go back there, he's got his back to the governor of the feast. They think he's pouring out of a wineskin. And he's plunging in the barrel. And he comes up. Come on now. He's carrying a cup. He knows what's in there. He knows where he got that at. That came out of that mud hole out back. Amen. From that last rain they got back in the spring, it still ain't dried up. But it was enough to wash the dust off their feet. And he comes fetching that cup of muddy water. Come on now, or so he thought. And hands it to the governor and says, here, take a drink of that. I mean, you ever get a hold of something real good? I mean, when it's real good, you take a quick swallow. Or swaller, as we say in the hills, take a quick swaller, and you lick your lips, and then you just finish her off. I mean, you just take it on down, and I say, oh, then, give me some more of that. He gets him another cup. Man, that is, I mean, man, would you get that out? And he says, hey, I got something to say right here. Hey, and I have your attention in just a minute. Whatever you've got, cup poured out. Or wherever this man, this circuitness that I've got, I'm telling you, it is good stuff. Go back, come on now. And the servants start divvying out six water pots full of muddy water. And I mean, these servants ain't never seen guests go that wild over this stuff. They're calling it wine. Come on now. I probably done tore it up. That's all right. Come on now. They're going crazy over this. Y'all liking this? If that's doing you any good. But when you're out, what you need is a fresh dose. Amen. A fresh wine. It'll make all the difference in the world. Until now. Until. I came to this service from that preacher dragon. Until now. I came here tonight. I thought that I was just ready to just forget about it. I thought I'd drink this last water that I had and go to the house. And I just run out. I just can't take no more. I ain't got no more to give. I've used everything I got. I just can't make it any farther. I've used all my resources. I've used all my effort. Well, come on now, before you leave here, dip your cup in the bucket where the rest of that wine came from. And you'll be one of those standing up saying, I was running out until now. I was the one that was on empty until now. And you may be the one that was the driest when you got here, but running the most before you leave here because of until now. Hey, is anybody in here tonight? I need a move of the Spirit of God in your life. I know
you ain't shouting. You ought to be. Those things are changing. We've already seen that side of the miracle. But here we are. The door is open. The wine's been made. And suddenly, we're not looking at the end of this thing, but we are looking at the beginning.
Probably didn't run the battery, didn't maybe. I don't know. Until now. Until now. Is it soaking in yet? I would. Except it might make a mess. I might would send some folks after a bucket of water. Why y'all carry that victory flag around for? Because that's the bucket my muddy water is in. And if I can get a hold of it, I'm going to get beside myself and tell everybody it gets better when you get in the bucket. Forget those usual ways of doing things. Forget about the wineskins of your efforts that are piled up in the corner and say, I've done this and I've done that and I've used all this and I've used all that. Come on now. Come to the bucket. Come to this bucket. God's got something for you right here tonight. I feel a stirring in my soul. Tonight it's going to be an until now kind of night. Here we are. I don't want to scare you by saying we're just halfway through this revival. We may be almost all the way through this revival. But there's some of you halfway through, all the way through, in the middle of it, wherever we are in this meeting, you are just about out.
And I discerned this. And I said, Lord, they have no wine. And the Lord has spoken to a few of these servants. He said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The governor of the feast and the guest will not get wine if the servants are not obedient. You're not going to get what you need until the servants. I hate to categorize you. But some of you here tonight are servants. And some of you are going to be our guest. And the servants, he's already told you what to do. The rest of us aren't going to get the wine until you get out and do it. Don't you feel something's changing right here? Come on, servants. Come on. Go ahead, step on out of there. Let's let God have His way. Come on now. Come on, come on. Go ahead, Brother Jason, just obey the Lord. Just whatever He says, do. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. It's going to be that act that's going to transform the rest of this meeting into a meeting where the good wine is being poured out of the bucket until everybody is going to think it's not winding down. It's just getting better. Anybody else going to get out and do God's will? God's trying to do something right here in this service. Oh, come on. Somebody step out and make a run for it. We need some water. Fill the water pot. What have they done, preacher? They're filling the water pot. And the rest of you are going to get some wine. But the water pots are filled. They stand all over the house. house. If my wife's getting ready to come, and we're going to have whatever God's got next. But the best wine is coming now. You never thought it could get any better, but it just has. Until now, the doors of heaven have swung open, and God's blessings are being poured out right here in our midst. Lift your hands all over this house and worship the Lord. Sing, sing, sing. Now that the water's been brought in and the servants have obeyed, whosoever will that is thirsty, whosoever will that's running on empty, the buckets are lined across this altar. Ah, come on now. They've been arranged for by the Lord. Why don't you come and get a drink? And by the time this service is over, you'll be testifying, I got the best part of it tonight. I got the good wine. It only got better as the revival was going on. Come on. Hey, come right here. The water's in place. The wine's in the bucket. Is there anybody here tonight that's thirsty? Get up and come and drink from this water, and you will never thirst again. Let's come, church. Everybody that will. There's wine. I said there's wine at the front of the church. There's wine up here. Come on. Let's step out of your pew. If you're running on empty, come tonight and get filled. Somebody need to move right now. Step on out. Get filled up. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what that word filled means? It means to be filled, and to be filled, and to be filled, and to be filled over and over and over and over and over again. Keep on coming back and getting all you want. God's got what you need right here in this service.